This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
It's only going to get better with time.
I think this is a huge thing for BYU. This is the start of something really beautiful.
If he can come back, that changes the upside for BYU. BYU might be a top 10 team. If you get the right pieces around, we're talking about some territory maybe BYU's never been to.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Happy Monday, everyone. I'm Spencer Linton. That is Jeremy Jordan. It is Masters Week.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Are they going to have it on some TVs on a certain cruise ship?
One can only hope. At least the first 3 days of said cruising with the Cougs excursion. Come on.
Can't wait.
They've got to make that
if
happen.
If not, going to be okay, trust me.
Hey, let's bring in one of the greatest shooters in BYU basketball history and a man who has strong opinions and is good friends with Yegor Demin. He is Jonathan Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation. JT, good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Oi. Hey, I'm doing fantastic. First things first, shout out to Brazil, Jeremy Jordan, another temple in Campo Grande.
Campo Grande. Let's go.
Mato Grosso do Sul. And then I do have a question. Spencer, what's your handicap right now?
My handicap in golf is probably about a 14.
Okay. All right. I mean, I see you wearing the Masters, you know, so in my mind, you know, you're buddies with Tony Finau and, you know, Mike Weir and all of those guys. And so, I mean, to have the confidence to wear that around with a 14, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how that plays out.
So, I think it has nothing to do with his game and just a celebration of said game.
Does it require an ego and confidence to wear gear that has the Masters logo on it?
No, it doesn't. Jared, thanks for calling me out, and I feel like crap now. But that's okay. That's all right. All right with that, guys.
Hey, way to post up behind a picture of Jesus, you know, after General Conference. You know, that's good. Let's talk about Yegor Demin, by the way. Yegor is giving us some cryptic social media messages. Just give me a pen and paper. And it's like, I'll run over and give you a pen and paper right now. Let's sign you up, Doc. Are you feeling like he might come back?
So I will say this. It's a bold strategy also to quote a nihilist, right, and have the quotes. After going to General Conference and playing at BYU, I you know, curious about that strategy. You know, I have a good relationship with Yegor. And, you know, I actually gave him a hard time yesterday. I was like, you know, how can you just be a conference, you know, the conference center? You don't even button your top button and the tie's loose. You know, I was giving him a hard time about that. And, you know, but I will say this. Obviously, you have boundaries in relationships, and I've shared with you guys before. And Jeremy, you remember this after a game. You know, I went to talk to him, and it's just to just let him be a kid and anything and everything but basketball. So what I'm going to share right now, it's me reading between the lines of what I'm seeing. It's happening, right? I look at Dallin Hall entering the portal, and the way that he worded that, it's not necessarily someone that, hey, I might come back. Hey, I may be coming back here. It was someone that came across as, you know, I think my time at BYU is done. So from that perspective, I personally believe Yegor is coming back. That's my opinion. But then you look at Elijah entering the transfer portal, and that one is kind of a head-scratcher to me. You know, you guys were mentioning in the previous segment about Houston and about, you know, BYU just having a hard time with them. I think Elijah would have handled a lot of those guards, you know, incredibly, hadn't given the opportunity, but they just didn't pan out that way. And so I think that between the possibility of playing with AJ, Yegor, and this is one thing I will say from my relationship, I will quote Yegor word for word. He freaking loves BYU and Provo and everything about it. You know, obviously he's, you know, he has a very close relationship and friendship with, you know, with Delaney Gibbs. And there's a lot of things that play into that factor, right? But he truly loves Provo. He truly loves BYU. The environment, you know, it's something very special to him. Is that enough to keep him in Provo? I don't know. You know, all of the experts have him as easily a top 20 in a draft, definitely a first rounder. that's guaranteed money for 3 years, right? And so how does that play out in his decision with his camp? I don't know. I'm curious to see. But, you know, to kind of answer the point that you guys had made in the previous segment, if he does come back, you know, Jaeger at the one, Richie at the two, AJ at the three, you have someone be the four man, maybe, you know, Diamande, and then Keba at the five, which Keba coming back is massive. You are correct, Jerem. I don't know if it was you or Spencer said, that's uncharted territory for BYU and the potential that they have as a team.
I mean, can just think about two lottery picks for BYU basketball.
And Richie, who you would think could be a pick next year too, potentially in the second round.
JT, this is a team that hasn't had a single draft pick since Jimmer Fredette was selected 10th overall 14 years ago. So to go from that to this is a wild swing of events. But what benefits BYU the most? All these guys coming back and running it back? Or do we just need to start the pipeline to the NBA and say, look, it works. Come play 1 year in BYU and it works.
So I'm going to share my opinion as a former player, not necessarily of BYU, but as a former professional player and also as a BYU fan. As a former professional player, the ability that you have to stack a team and go do something special, it doesn't happen very often, right? Which is why, you know, Jerem, I think you can relate to this, and which is why I give Trent Plaisted such a hard time for not coming back for his senior year, because Jimmer, Jackson, Lee, myself, and Trent, that could have been something extremely special as a team you put together on that 2008-2009 team, right? Yeah. And so from that perspective, I see that for BYU as a program, the best thing that they can do, you know, in terms of winning and having success is to have, you know, Jaeger come back and make a very deep run in the NCAA tournament, even get into the Elite Eight or a potential Final Four. Now, as a BYU fan that is hoping the program starts this pipeline, to your point, Spencer, I would personally say if Jaeger goes and gets drafted this year and then next year, AJ is a top five pick. Richie goes to the NBA. At that point, with Kevin Young having the time that he has on his hands now, how is BYU not a consistently top 10, top 15, you know, recruiting class over and over again? How does that work? How does Kevin Young not make that work over and over again? And so I think there are pros and cons on both sides. You know, I would probably lean on the side of making history, right? You go back and look at Portland Trail Blazers fan, and they still talk about the title that Bill Walton gave them on 77. The 70s. And so, yeah. And so it's one of the things that I would say, come back, make history. You know, but I think also in terms of the pipeline, how does AJ perform at BYU, right? I mean, all of his games are pretty much sold out. We know that. And how is that going to unravel with his success and the draft and AJ reaching out to other, you know, future prospects? And so I don't think there's a wrong answer in which path to follow.
Where does this team and what they did this year, just the third Final Four, or excuse me, Sweet 16, I'm excited about next year, apparently, Sweet 16 in program history. Where do you put this team? Because I think they automatically go top three.
I agree with you. You know, I would definitely say, you know, the Elite Eight, you know, run with Danny Ainge, that was special. You know, obviously Jimmer Mania would probably be number two, and this team would be up there. Here's the thing, though, right? If we consider all of BYU history, as both of you also know this just as well as I do, if not much better, in the 20s and 30s, BYU was a powerhouse, you know, getting a lot of success on the NITs and on the conferences. And also in the 15s, you know, with Munson and the other guy that had his, you know, jersey retired.
Mel Hutchins. I forgot his name. Yep.
Yeah, Hutchins and Munson. And so they won national championships. And so, but if you talk about new era of basketball, this is the third best team in BYU history, you know, bar none. I would then probably say after that, you know, the team that I was a part of in 2010, my senior year, when we won 30 games in a season, it would be after that. But I agree with you on the top three. Sports are all based out of results. You know, I remember always having conversations with Tom Homo about this. You know, the more results you have, the better things are going to, you know, happen to those involved. And so it's difficult to not say this team is one of the top three in BYU history.
Jonathan Tavernari, former BYU basketball sharpshooter, is on BYU Sports Nation. Well, we know for a surety that A.J. DiBonta will be at BYU next year, as will Xavion Staten and Kay Bakeda. So those three are in, JT. What does the return of Kay Bakeda and him declaring that he's back for another year mean for the future of BYU basketball?
He brings something that BYU just hasn't had consistently throughout all of its, you know, all of its basketball history. How many times have we seen a center, you know, be as athletic and dominant and, you know, just an impactful defensive, you know, just a specimen, and, you know, to be able to finish at the rim when he does. You know, I will say, I think Keba is a one or two, you know, skills away from being a perennial ABA player. I think if Keba can develop a, you know, 10 to 12 footer little jumper, you know, maybe a little floater with one hand, and then he can get his free throw shooting to about 70%. That's yet another NBA player that's going to be on the roster, you know, for BYU's next year and the year after that in the league. He is so good. The timing that he has in blocking and rebounding is just second to none. You know, somebody posted something on X, which is, you know, Keba always had the potential to do what he is doing right now. And, you know, I think that's the difference between Utah and BYU is Kevin Young was able to truly maximize the ceiling of Keba. And, you know, we kind of saw that ceiling. That's one of the things that you and I think we talked on an interview, or Spencer, that's something you and I talked about during the Big 12 tournament. BYU ceiling kept being pushed up and up and up. And so they would perform well and do something and would go, wow, I can't believe they could be this good. And then they would play another game and then go, wow, I didn't know that they could be this good. And so I think a lot of that also has to do with Keba and his defensive presence. And so, you know, BYU is stacked. We haven't even mentioned, you know, Xavion coming in. We haven't even talked about Dawson Baker. You know, I reached out to Trevin Nell and asked him to connect me with Dawson. I think Dawson can have the mindset to try to be the sixth man of the year next year. I think that is a individual goal that would very much align with the team goals of winning and what you need from Dawson. And so I hope to have a chance to work with him this summer. You know, I think BYU right now is an elite sharpshooter away from getting to be above what they were this year. You know, obviously Trevin Nell is not coming back for another year. There'll probably be 8 years of Trevin Nell at BYU, which is crazy. you know, but I think when you have a sharpshooter like that, and maybe you tweak lineups a little bit here and there, you know, even with Diamande being a defensive presence, very much reminding of Mawat Mag. And so, you know, Kevin Young did amazing with only about a half of an offseason to work with while paying attention to his job with the Phoenix Suns. And so I'm very interested to see what's going to happen this year with him having the full summer and the full transfer portal to work with.
Jonathan Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation. JT, always good to catch up with you, man, and talk some BYU hoops. I'm just interested to see how different this team is 1 week from now, because things change so fast.
You know, and that's the thing, right? You don't know who's going to come back from the portal, who's going to enter the portal. It is it's a wild west on that perspective, you know. And the one thing I want to say, and I know, you know, our time is up, I just want to share one thing. BYU, Kevin Young, the athletic department, Tom Homo, Brian Santiago. When I mean BYU, I mean these guys around the basketball program. They need to be given a ton of credit in how they're handling NIL. You know, NIL is not being thrown around BYU just for money, just to get any type of player. You know, they're being handled in a way like, hey, this is the money that you're going to have. This is your role. This is your job. And it's so different than what I am experiencing with former teammates of mine, you know, even at Florida. Tarian Green, you know, someone that I played with and against in Europe, and he's a coach, you know, at UF right now. You know, BYU, Bill Self, you have the clip that you guys have played a lot. It says, you know, BYU is the sleeping giant, right? BYU is the one that, you know, watch out for. BYU is doing NIL the right way, the best way possible. I can speak for basketball because I'm close to the collective. You know, incredible props to those guys for handling things the way they're doing.
Jonathan Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation. Good to talk to you, JT. Thanks for the time.
Hello.
Demais, um abraço.
BYU Baseball plays at Utah Tech tomorrow, coming up 6 Eastern on ESPN+ and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, where BYU softball and baseball currently sit in the Big 12 standings after the weekend. Some big-time performances from BYU track and field athletes. Heard that before. This is BYU SN.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
BYU and picks up a home victory. Milkowski, well hit, left field, and gone! This could be a double play, it is! Kamoku, high and deep, a grand slam!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, fresh off that 12-7 win from BYU softball against Utah Tech.
Fun.
Are two of the stars of the Cougar softball team. They are Ilovea Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski.
Happy
Welcome
birthday
to the show.
To you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate you.
All right, let's just go ahead and start with why last night's game was so important. And it got a little weird. It's 5-5 in the fourth inning, and a week earlier, he had lost to Utah Valley. And you wondered, like, oh, no, is it happening again? But then the stars rose up, Lindy, and it started, I believe, in a lot of ways with your home run to, like, bring some relief back to that dugout. So what was that moment like for you?
Oh, my gosh, I can't even describe it. I think the best thing is kind of going through, and I was just like, okay, this is the time to be clutch. Like, this is kind of the time to kind of turn it on is, like, we don't want to let these guys in our game. Like, we're a Big 12 team. We're kind of good. I was like, we're a little good. So I was thinking to myself, I was like, I just want to hit a single to right field. I just want to hit a single to right field. And luckily, my buddy was on first base, and she had, you know, she'd made the play before that. And so I was like, okay, this is the time. This pitcher, she's like, she's got nothing on me. I can do this. So I just sat back and saw it. And, I mean, that thing was a laser beam. Like, I feel like it barely got off the ground.
Yes.
And so I hit it, and I was like, and then apparently I sprinted around the bases, which is what I do. I don't trot. I'm not a big
You're
trotter.
A sprinter on the
I'm a
base
sprinter.
Pass.
Nice. Coach Allie comes up to me. She goes, I think you just ran a 12-second home run. She was like, you were just 12 seconds around there, but
That's
it was
great.
Just a great moment. I'm happy that we could all pull together as a team, and a big part of that was really Kayla. She came in super clutch for us, and she kind of generated that offense, and I was happy to just follow in her footsteps.
8 RBIs are incredible. Lots of homers. Ilovea, 14 homers this season to lead the team. What's worked for you this year? Because that's a ton.
Just staying down, staying disciplined, trying to drive the oppo, trying to get line drives. Honestly, that's the mindset going up there.
Now, listen, this response should not surprise you, because when Ilo walks up to the plate, it's just super casual, nonchalant. Your teammates give you a hard time about it. Super relaxed. Like, all good. What a 14 home run.
And then,
no big deal.
Boom.
Okay. What is
and
it
And then
about
Lindy's the opposite. She's sprinting around the bases.
They're like, please, please.
What is it about that approach for you where you're calm in those moments?
I mean, it's just softball. It's just a game. You're supposed to love and enjoy it. So shouldn't be too stressed out when you're up there. You're supposed to enjoy the game and have some fun.
Where does that chill nature come from? Like, are your parents chill? Is it, like, where did this come from? Because not everyone's like that. People get rattled. People get excited.
Like, I mean, there's different moments where, like, you can get rattled. Sometimes I'll be up there and I'm like, and I just have to pretend.
I just have you to pretend well, I'm apparently. Chilling.
Yeah. A couple of things. One, I'd like to point out that Lindy also has 12 home runs on the season.
Yes.
So between the two,
this
26.
Is the number one Big 12 home run hitting
yes.
team, as you mentioned.
They average more than a home run and a half per game on the season.
That's fun for the play-by-play.
Yeah, an incredible
Thank
number.
Thank you for him. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's really, really enjoyable to call.
Yeah.
But also, I need to point out that Ela made a nice defensive play in right field last night. Did she not, Lindy?
Absolutely,
okay,
she did.
A little slide on there. I saw
like,
the big
okay,
smile after that.
I saw the little slide on there. I was like, okay, she's sliding in there like that. Like, you go, girl.
Smooth little catch.
You do more than just hit bombs, right? Okay, yeah.
Sometimes.
Absolutely. All right, up next is UCF, massive series. You know what's on the line here. This is another NCAA tournament quality team. You're battling as BYU players and a team to get back in the tournament for the first time in 3 years. And there's, you know, there's always that in the back of your mind. So how do you balance that? And a question for both of you as you prepare for a really important series.
I think for me, like, the biggest thing is we just got to know our game. Like, we got to know that we're a great hitting team and we're also a great defensive team. I think the biggest thing is just knowing that, like, we're the best out there. And they don't want to come play us. Like, they're scared. Like, I just feel like with us coming in and having such a great offensive team and then also coming in defensively, we have a great pitching staff. We're coming in really hot from the weekend and just kind of translating that into our energy. I think energy is a huge piece for us too, is showing how we can be an energetic team and that kind of thrives in our offense and defense.
Elo, how do you feel about the series upcoming?
Yeah, I mean, just like she said, we need to bring that energy. We need to come out hot and just attack.
And can you speak to what Spencer was talking about the hunger of this program knows they're good and you're trying to get back to the tourney and you feel like this is the group that's going to do it?
I feel like we've definitely banded together and we've had a lot of, you know, communication as a team of just saying, like, we want this. Like, this is the team that we, you know, a lot of us weren't here last year, about 50-50. We're here with the wins with Oklahoma. And a lot of it has to do with we want it so bad. Like, a lot of us haven't experienced the regional experience what it's like to go to regionals, and the other half is like we were 1 point basically short. And so I think that kind of drives this hunger of just like we want to be there, like we want to do the work, we want to put in the effort to not take any game and let it kind of put it past us. Like, we want to come ready every game and come hungry so that we can make it to regionals and show that BYU is that team, and I believe that they can be.
This was the proper way to end the show, the right energy.
Absolutely
right.
I'm jacked to watch the BYU-UCF game tomorrow now.
Absolutely.
I can't wait.
Let's go.
Come show it.
Thanks to both of you for being with us. Happy birthday, Lindy.
Thank you.
Elo, no pressure, but she's expecting something big, I'm sure. All right, Elo Vale, Brittingham, and Lindy Mokowski of BYU Softball.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, that wraps up the show. Always, you can find our shows on demand, BYUSN.com. And Jeremy, remind me, did we have time for Dennis Pitta?
We did not. Thanks to Trav for joining the program. No time for Dennis, who did not hit a home run at BYU. Fun fact. Never hit a home run.
He did a lot of great things, but he never hit a home run.
Right, but he didn't hit a home run.
Oh, we love Dennis. For Jeremy Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Allie Hancock Schneeman, who's pregnant with her second girl.
Oh, I didn't know that. Congrats.
Go Cougs.
To the Schneeman.
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Next on BYUSN, we present your 2025 BYU Spring Football Sports Nation Special, including a big picture look at the state of BYU football as we push towards game number one in late August. Our guest lineup includes BYU defensive tackle transfer Keanu Tanuvasa on how he is transitioning to the BYU environment and scheme and how he got exactly what he wanted out of spring practice.
Grantford tight end Carson Ryan breaks down how he's building chemistry with Jake Retzloff and how his time at UCLA and Utah is helping him here at BYU. And defensive backs Trey Alexander and Tanner Wall detail spring practices for the secondary and what BYU's motivation is this season.
Motivation? How about lots of interceptions again? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation and this spring football special presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is ready for the budding blossoms and a budding football season, Jerem Jordan.
I do love spring because it means we are closer to football season. We had such a wonderful, amazing men's basketball season, and right now baseball and softball and everybody's rocking it, men's volleyball. Let's get to football later in how many days?
Woo.
Countdown to the Vikings.
141.
Like, weird numbers. That's all we go for when we do the countdown now. Not nice, normal numbers, just weird numbers.
Is 141 a prime number? You don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that.
It doesn't matter.
You know what does matter? Rising and shouting, because it's time for What's Trending. It's not often that we're in a situation where spring football takes a backseat to many things, but because BYU men's basketball is so good,
it's mostly learning and just trying to get the basics down. A lot of good things happening, though.
I think we've started in a great spot. kind of picking up where we left off. I like where we got.
We're on the verge of being one of the best offenses in the country, and that's what we're trying to be. Knowing that, it just is another motivator for this offseason.
Without question, March, and frankly, early April, as we surrounded ourselves with BYU basketball, was extra sweet, Jerem.
It was awesome.
Sweet 16. But
or
you know
I'd have said the salty 16, as we were.
It was the perfect combination of sweet and salty.
Love that.
Now, that said, BYU football kind of just quietly doing their thing and didn't get their due. So that is our purpose here today.
Yes.
Is to give BYU football out of spring practice their proper validation and credit and get to that with some spring football superlatives. So, beginning with this, you know you love superlatives, Jerem.
I love
you love to speak in absolutes.
Every time
too.
You speak in superlatives, I love it. Every always never didn't do that. Yeah, I love superlatives, you know that.
So, here's what we're going to start with. What's the biggest strength of this BYU football team fresh out of spring practices?
Experience. This is a team that largely returns most of its core from a team that went 11-2 and won the Alamo Bowl convincingly. They're motivated. They felt like they should have been in the playoff in the Big 12 title. They weren't. They're upset about losses to Kansas and Arizona State. You got a veteran quarterback. You got a great linebacker core. You got a loaded wide receiver and safety room. I think the experience is the number one strength. What do you think?
Mine goes hand in hand with yours. Leadership is the word that I'm going to use. There's clear leaders designated on this team, led by quarterback Jake Retzlaff, and that just matters so much.
Always good to have a senior quarterback.
Yes, and he's, you may have noticed, very brash and out there about being the guy. In fact, this is the first time, and he told us this not too long ago, that he's going into the season at BYU, and really in his collegiate career, where he's clearly the guy. There's no competition for that quarterback spot at all. It's just Jake's spot. It's been declared.
Yep.
It's done. He's the guy. He's the clear leader and the leader of a team of leaders. You look at the defensive side of the ball, Jerem, it's just full of guys with experience that have leadership capabilities. Jack Kelly in the linebacker core is one that I look to. Tanner Wall, who we're going to hear from later in the show, is another guy I look to for leadership in terms of the safeties and what they're going to do on the backside of the defense.
Second question, biggest question mark.
Defensive line. What is around Keanu Tanuvasa? I feel very confident about every single position group on this BYU football team, except maybe what is the depth like on the defensive line? Because BYU has to replace some really, really key pieces, including Tyler Batty, Isaiah Banya, Blake Mangelson, John Nelson. Like, that's a load of talent and experience to lose in that position group.
Those two D tackles specifically, Mangelson and Nelson, did a very good job. Those were dogs. Those guys worked so hard.
And probably underappreciated.
They're batting balls up in the air. The BYU's picking off. They're making TFLs. They're getting in the backfield a little bit. That was big time. For me, it's offensive line. You have some good experience coming back with Bruce Mitchell, who showed out well last year when Connor Pay got hurt, Waylon Lapuahu, Austin Leusa, Sonny Macassini. You have some new guys that have to fit in, right? Isaiah Jada, Andrew Gentry, the Michigan transfer. Those could be your tackles. Plus young guys like Joe Brown, Kyle Safarczyk from SUU and others. So I like the group. I just think it takes a minute for those guys to gel. They have to come together in a way that no other position does. They have to be in sync as five guys at the same time right by each other. So O-line is that for me.
Okay, next superlative, the deepest position group. This is tough because there are a bunch.
It's not tough for me. I think wide receivers are the deepest, clearly. I love the linebackers, too, and safeties, but wide receivers. You got Chase Roberts, Keelan Marion, JoJo Phillips, Parker Kingston, plus Cody Hagen got in there a little bit. Tane Nakua is making plays in spring. That's six guys. You're too deep there, and that's with losing Darius Lassiter.
It's probably the receivers, but I'm going to make a case for, I believe, the safeties and the linebackers on the defensive side of the ball. Because you just bring back everybody. You talk about the three starting linebackers that are the most prominent there. Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and Harrison Taggart. And then Ciale Acera expects to play a bigger role. So I like the linebacker room as well.
Ace and Mike Kafusi had a good spring, we heard as well.
Yes.
Jay Brandt Struthers is back. I thought he was gone. And he's back.
And he played some meaningful snaps in big-time games.
Yes.
Okay, so that
Miles Hall is back. He played a little bit.
That's probably number two for me. Mm-hmm. But I think the safeties deserve some credit as well. Led by Tanner Wall, Raider DeMooney, Talon Alfrey, all those dudes, Jay Hill.
Tommy Prassis, Palatel Satuella.
They're the young guys.
All five of those guys played a bunch.
Yes. And I know that Tommy got a little bit more notoriety because of his role in scoring against Kansas State.
Yeah.
But those two position groups deserve a fair shake along with the wide receivers.
Defense is pretty good, stinking good. That back seven specifically, amazing. Who's your spring ball MVP? This is the thing that we like to do every year, which is really fun and completely meaningless.
I always want it to be the quarterback. That's what I want it to be.
If it's not the quarterback, I have questions.
But I'm going to lean on what Jake Retzlaff told me, and he said, as far as the offense goes, it's Carson Ryan.
Wow.
That's
a good one.
In his words, said he went to another level. He was utilized heavily in the spring offensive practices. And then he also allows Carson, because he's a good blocker, like BYU's doing some things with the run set. Like they're showing a couple of multiple two-back sets, three-back sets, Jerem.
We saw, we saw what, 30 personnel last year, three
yes,
running backs,
which like
is crazy.
That, we should see more of that. But Sione Moa is another name I'm going to mention. Like he's a guy that all of his teams, he runs so violently.
Spring ball MVP is Keanu Tanevasa on the D-line. He came in right away and he became not only the leader of the group, but one of the best players on the defense, if not the best player. He's got the leadership, the skills, and he's the best interior D lineman BYU's had in a long time.
Whew, that's saying something because they've had some guys.
And he talks like he's been here forever. I love it. He's a Coug already.
I love the way that during the alumni game, he talked about just the feeling of being in Lavelle Edwards Stadium and how much he loves the fans.
He's stoked.
And he also offered up some lofty expectations. But we'll let him talk about those as one of our guests on this spring football special. After the break, the first of our post-spring football player interviews, including the transfer from Utah, Keanu Tanevasa, who goes one-on-one with Jerem about those practices and how he's adjusting a life at BYU. This is BYU SN.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and it is time to bring in longtime friend of the program, one of our closest friends. He is Uncle B, dual threat analyst, and it's perfect that he is the dual threat analyst because we're talking both basketball and football naturally today as we assess what BYU did collectively over the last athletics calendar year. Welcome in Blaine Fowler back to the program. Blaine, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. Just getting ready to go cruising with you, Spencer.
Let's go. Hey, that's a tall task, man. Thanks for being my friend.
and 3,000 of our closest friends we're going on a cruise with. So.
Yes, indeed. All right, Dave and I just had a really interesting conversation assessing what BYU football and basketball did collectively, both finishing number 13 in the final AP poll. Of course, the Sweet 16 for basketball, Alamo Bowl champs, 11-win season for BYU football. Collectively, Blaine, is it too dramatic to say that the two teams together just pulled off the best combo seasons from football and basketball in BYU sports history?
There's only one other year that we can even talk about, right? And I'm going to say, let me say this first before I tell you what I think. The 81-82 athletic season where BYU basketball made its incredible run with Danny Ainge and the gang and all of those NBA guys on basketball. And then that football team that won the conference and went and beat Washington State, they finished 13th in the AP poll and 11th in the coaches poll that year. Basketball finished 13th. It's the only year we can even remotely compare. And I'm going to give the nod to this year, just because the full season competition to accomplish what they did was just so much better than the teams that we were playing back in the Western Athletic Conference back in those days. So I think we just witnessed the greatest combo ever. You know what I'm hopeful for, though, you guys? I'm hopeful that this season ushers in what that 80-81 season and BYU sports ushered in, which I consider the Camelot or the renaissance of BYU sports, when everything was good. Like, if you think back on the baseball team during that season, you had Rick Aguilera, Scott Nielsen, Peter Kendrick, Corey Snyder, Wally Joyner, and they went on a run of several years that were amazing. You know, as we're looking at these numbers and these records in football and basketball, both of those programs, there was a tiny dip in football the next year. Steve Young got his feet under him. And then a run that's, I would arguably say, the best run in the history of BYU football, 83, 84, 85, right? Baseball got on a roll. It seems like everything was clicking in late 70s and early 80s. And I feel like that 81, 82 season kind of just launched BYU into a decade that was unbelievable. So my question back to you guys is, do you agree that this was just because of competition, this is the greatest combo basketball football ever? But does this usher in, you guys were just going through highlights and you know, that all of the sports, seems like everything's doing well. Does this usher in another decade of just unbelievable sports accomplishment across the program? Is this the beginning of something great right now for BYU?
Well, it is the beginning of players being compensated, which is an additional attraction to a power conference athletic department, which BYU didn't have back then. And so there's that support. Some see as a weakness. If it's working for you, it's a super support. You can rebuild a team in the portal with NIL, no matter what team we're talking about. So I think there's advantages there to keep it that way. They're off to a great start. And now there's advantages to maintain, which might be a little easier than in the past.
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question, Blaine. Like, we all hope that this is the second edition, this Camelot Part 2, right?
Right.
We can just fully enjoy this, and we witness consistency. Certainly BYU has the momentum. Now, I think it starts with football because they are chronologically the first team to go, Blaine. And we were talking earlier in the segment, earlier in the show, I should say, about BYU maybe having the easiest, if not one of the easier, Power Four schedules lined up. And again, we look, it's all difficult. And you're in Power Four football, it's still difficult. BYU just maybe happens to have a more favorable run. So if they can keep that momentum, I just feel like it fuels the entire athletic department. So I'm kind of going to put a little bit of pressure on BYU football. Do you feel like they can replicate what they did this year without wearing the blue goggles?
Yeah, honestly, as I've watched spring football, and I look at the key players that are back. I always say when BYU has a senior quarterback, as long as they're decent up front, you've got a chance to be really good offensively. And Jake, believe it or not, because he was really good last fall, I think he took great strides in spring ball to get better with the way he took care of the ball and with the decision-making and with his leadership. But remember, last year at this time, he wasn't the undisputed guy. We had a competition until the end of fall camp, remember? And so he's very comfortable in the shoes he's in right now, and it shows out on the practice field. And when you start with that, BYU's always been really, really good. And they've got great depth at wide receiver. Moa looked phenomenal at running back in spring ball. They're deep at running back. The offensive line is young, but very, very talented with enough key cogs back to be good. And then I feel like the defense just picks up where they left off. The back seven is as good as anybody in the league, especially linebacker and safety. And so I come out of spring ball and I'm going, why not? Like, why not just pick up where they left off, but with a little bit less aggressive schedule, and why not make it to the college football playoff this next year? What if, and this is the big what if, they go to the college football playoff this year, which is, you know, you don't have to be in the best four, you just have to be in the top 12, which is not out of the realm of possibility. And what if this basketball team with AJ and some of the transfer portal folks we're hearing about to come in and help out a point guard, what if they step up and make it to the Elite Eight or to the Final Four this next year? That's not crazy. It sounds crazy, but it's not crazy based on who they have coming back. I'm going to give you that this year is the best year ever for those two sports combined, but I'm going to say there's a chance that they take a step forward next year in both sports.
All right,
it sounds crazy, but it's not, you guys. It's not crazy.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation.
That. We're good with that. You know? Look, if that all happens, this show's going to have to expand to 2 hours.
Exactly.
We might listen, Dave and Blaine, Jeremy and I may need you. We need like a consistent four-man team if we're going to expand to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Holy cow, there is a lot to discuss and a lot of good. Number 13 for both teams, that's kind of a fun coincidence that both teams finish with that exact number, Blaine. But which team do you feel like is, And I'm going to take it to a different area. Which team has the better chance to finish better than number 13 after their season next year?
Yeah, I just have more questions about basketball, not about talent, but so much of their success this year was not just that they had Richie and Yegor and Kaba and all this talent. It was how Kevin Young melded it together, and they really played for each other, and they were so unselfish, and they got better, I think, right through the end of the season. So now you're going to bring in more talent. Even better talent. Can we just say AJ's the most talented kid coming out of high school, probably since Danny Ainge coming out of high school, right? That's going to play at BYU. Can Kevin Young have that same magic with this team to get them to play together the way that this team played together? And AJ is a generational talent. Can he and Richie figure out how to be super complimentary with each other? I believe they can. Because Richie's such an unselfish team guy. AJ seems to have the right personality. But AJ's a freshman that could score 20-plus a game as a freshman. He's a different kind of cat. And we know what Richie does. He just does whatever the team needs. Can these other players fit in? Can Kaba take a step forward? I just have a few more questions on basketball than I do on football. And I feel like football, and we don't know the basketball schedule completely yet, but football, I think, has an easier schedule with more knowns coming back. Some of my unknowns have been answered watching Keanu Tanevasa in spring ball. I'm like, holy cow, he's ridiculous. He might be my MVP for spring ball. Mm. So I think there's less questions with football. The schedule is easier. I expect BYU to be a top 12 team this next year in football. In basketball, I kind of expect it too, but I just have more questions, and it's not about talent. It's about chemistry with a new group. So there you go. And I think I already stated, I think they both have a chance to improve on last year. If I have more questions, it's about basketball and chemistry. That's it.
Blaine, how do you see Yegor's decision to go to the NBA as a win-win for BYU?
Just the very first words out of his mouth in his press conference just told you what his intentions are. And he is going to be a goodwill ambassador. He said, I'm not leaving BYU, I'm taking you with me, right? I'm going to wear the BYU logo. He's going to be an ambassador for BYU. And the more success he has, the better chance BYU has to get other players like him who are not members of the faith but want to come and grow their faith. I love how he stated that as well. Who want to prepare for the NBA. We should all be rooting for Yegor to be unbelievably good over the next several years in the NBA because it just sets the tone. But we've gotten to know him. The three of us have gotten to know him. He's an amazing human being. I love Yegor. I wish he was coming back selfishly. I wish he was coming back. I could see a case for that. But I feel like now we line up behind him because he's lined up in front of us and carrying the BYU flag everywhere he goes. And that can be really good for BYU in the recruiting wars that come down and the transfer portal that's going on right now. And it can be a win for BYU. And if he goes to the right team, where the coach will be patient and to develop him and help him gain another 20 pounds and do all that. He's got a chance to play for a decade or more in that league, but he's still got some development there. He's going to get drafted in the first round, but it's not going to be because of who he is right now. It's going to be because of who they think he can be. And he needs to be in the right situation with the right coach that will develop him and take care of him. And if he is, he's going to have a long career.
Blaine, great to talk to you as always, bringing it for both football and basketball. Bring plenty of sunscreen and bring some honey lemon tea to keep the vocal cords fresh because I'm sure you're going to be having a lot of conversations with people.
We're looking forward. And you and I get to host a bunch of stuff together, Spencer. So at least I'm there with my guy. We'll be there together. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Blaine, thanks for the time, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
I got to get some new friends. Hope you guys have a great time on the high seas.
Listen.
We'll be holding it down.
You should see my itinerary, Dave. My wife's like, are you going to have any time to do anything with us?
Got all the kids going. It's going to be awesome. Wish everyone a great time over there. If you miss any of our interviews, by the way, they're always waiting for you on our YouTube channel and BYUSN.com. And you can download the BYU TV app. See the Deep Blues as well. There's some really good ones. Get all you need, all your BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
Which team do you think is more likely to replicate last season's success? Is it BYU football? BYU men's basketball? More responses to our question of the day on BYUSN.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
BYU Sports Nation rolls on with our question of the day. Will BYU men's basketball finish better in the preseason or be ranked better in the preseason poll next year than they finished this year at number 13? At Cam underscore Cougar 25 on X says, it depends on who they bring back or get in the portal, but I think they will have a strong case to be ranked better in that preseason poll.
Now, let's say we know Kaba. We think Richie returns. AJ DiBonsa. TBD, let's say BYU gets said point guard from the portal. And you bring back Dawson and Mihailo and Brody, let's say. That team to me is like 12 and in. Like that team, if you had, BYU still needs a shooter or two. They need maybe one of those two guys to be a 3-and-D guy. They still need a big. They kind of need one of everything. They need a point guard, a shooter, a 3-and-D, and a big. Like, that's like a lot of what a regular starting five would consist of. It's going to be awesome. Now, you can only fill up with so many good guys, though. Like, because star players want to play with other star players, but like seven of them don't want to play together. So you target a couple of good fits, and then you put together good pieces around them. Like, BYU has a star in AJ. They have a star in Richie. And then they have great complementary players around them, and perhaps this portal guy is a star too. Could be pretty good, man.
If BYU can maintain their core, the majority of it, that is always key. And we've talked about
it. And the core right now is specifically Kaba,
Richie, Dawson Baker, Mihailo Boskovic.
And then you hope you can retain a young talent in Brody Kozlowski. You hurt his hand during the season. We didn't see him as much as we wanted.
At CL underscore living on X says, I hope not. I like the mindset where BYU tends to be undervalued and can play with that chip on their shoulders.
I think that era is going away a little bit because BYU is getting top recruits in the country, TBD in football. Like we saw a tight end this week. As BYU gets more talented and wins more games, they will need to learn. They will need to change the business model of we are good, we are expected to be good, and we handle success well.
The mindset shift.
I like that, no doubt, but it's going to change a little bit as BYU gets better in this.
The mindset shift for BYU football and basketball now is we need to prove that that season wasn't a fluke. We need to prove that it wasn't a fluke.
We prove people right. When we're ranked high, we answer that. As opposed to, no one thought we could do it. 84, we were unranked, we won the Natty. That's great. That's the BYU that was in the WAC and independent in the Mountain West. This is BYU in the Big 12. This is BYU with great culture, coaching, competitive NIL. This is a new era. This is a new business model to me.
Will BYU be ranked better in the preseason poll next year than they finished this year at Can of Picante and X says probably.
Nice.
Two words or letters in this matter, A and J.
Yeah, BYU's bringing in its greatest recruit in any sport ever. The expectations should be high.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from at BYU underscore Braves on X, who answers, taking off the blue goggles? Yes, I honestly believe so. Right now, BYU is a point guard and a few depth pieces away from being legit title contenders. And Kevin Young has already earned the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. I expect BYU to be amazing next year. I can't wait for basketball season already. We have to wait until November to watch basketball games? Late October? What?
Can we just get it rolling again?
I know.
Football and basketball, let's go.
Football's like, we're right here.
Remember how we finished 13th and went 11-2?
We're like less than 4 months away from
we're going to be a preseason
camp.
Top 20 team.
Are you please make it manifest.
Today's Rise
and
Shout.
That's the first pan ever to just your hand in the air in the history of the program.
Low hand. Today's Rise and Shout outs. Presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Cool tweet from Jack DeMooney. The greatest feeling is when our school motto, enter to learn, go forth to serve, impacts our former players. Great to see former BYU defensive back Isaiah Heron, who was serving in the Air Force and doing very well for himself. That's what it's all about. Go Cougs. Isaiah was in the building the other day. Very cool with Justin Anderson and Brandon Bradley and John Swift with Jack. That's very awesome of Isaiah. He's doing great work. He looks great.
Well done, Isaiah. Yeah, super cool. Serving the country.
It's awesome.
So much respect for those guys.
Absolutely respect. If you miss any of our shows, interviews, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app, to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
USN with BYU football and basketball, both finishing the season ranked 13th in the AP poll. The question, was this the best football-basketball combined season ever for BYU? Plus, is Cougar football or men's basketball more likely to replicate last season's success again this season? We'll also break down those topics with BYU TV analyst Blaine Fowler, talk about Yegor Demin's decision to declare for the draft, how spring practice went for BYU football, all that stuff coming up with Blaine. And BYU men's cross country and track and field had a big transfer in Thomas Boyden. He's like the Puka Nacua of track and field coming to BYU. He'll join the show, discuss why he picked the Cougars. Good morning. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter for BYU fans everywhere, Thursday, April 10th. I'm Dave McKenzie, the first day of the Masters. So we're in green in honor of Mike Weir. It was 22 years ago this year that Weir, by a mere one shot, won the green jacket. The only BYU player to win the Masters. He tapped in for bogey to beat Len Matisse in a one-hole playoff. And Weir outperformed former champ Tiger Woods by 9 shots, but you saw in the pictures there that Tiger was the one to place the green jacket on Mike Weir. So 22 years ago today. As for today, because when you win the Masters, you get to keep playing the Masters, Weir is 2 over par through 13 holes. So that's what's going on in the golf world and here on BYU Sports Nation with so much more. Spencer's in the house. He's going to join us in a moment. Here's the thing. It's a 10 o'clock tee time every day here on Sports Nation. But sometimes guys spend a little more time on the range than they should be. So Spencer's got all his shots ready. He's putting his mic on and he's going to join us here on this big one. Let's get into what's trending. And when we trend, Spencer will be in his seat ready to go. What's trending? Let's do it right now.
BYU enters at number 13.
And the 10th top 15 finishing program in history.
If you talk about new era of basketball, this is the third best team in BYU history, you know, bar none.
What's trending?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hey, it's good to be here. Nice Masters gear.
Well, yeah, same. It's that kind of a day.
What'd you shoot this morning, Dave?
I shot yesterday, and I shot a lot, but I birdied the first hole, and that's what matters. And that's what I choose to remember.
Okay, so every golfer is required to have selective memory, are they not?
Yeah. You got your bags packed? You ready to go?
Bags are packed. You ready for the boat? Yeah, this is a unique time. I just had a friend text me and say, man, this has been a busy week for you guys on the show. There's so much going on, and that makes us excited to discuss what's trending today, which is both BYU football and BYU men's basketball, specifically finishing number 13 in the AP poll. How about that? The symmetry there of football and basketball both being number 13. Now, this marks just the second time in BYU history both of those teams have finished at least 13 in the same season. You got to go all the way back to 1979 and 1980 when I know your dad was living in his heyday, right?
Yeah,
this
I was
the
12.
The glory years, right?
Yeah.
So was this year, considering what Kalani Sitake and BYU football and Kevin Young and BYU basketball did with their teams, the best basketball-football combo season ever?
Think about all that's happened in between. Like, I was 12 when it happened the last time, and now I'm like a terribly young 57. There's a lot of years in between. It's a lot of ups and downs for Cougar fans. And then here comes a season that's magical, that's like 79-80. And so... The best year might have been, I don't know, 80-81 as far as Jim McMahon, Miracle Bowl, Danny Ainge, Elite Eight.
First ever bowl win for BYU football, and then, yes, the unforgettable moments from Danny Ainge.
So on paper, that sounds like, and I was talking to Jim McMahon earlier this week, and we were talking about this. He goes, you know, they just couldn't stop us. Average over 46 points a game, scored 46 in the Holiday Bowl, win it on that pass. But that team was spectacular, and then here came this team. They didn't win all their games. I don't think they won the league that year, but they got into the tournament. They got hot. This play, of course, iconic to beat Notre Dame and get on to the Elite Eight, where no team has gone since. That's a pretty special year. But when you weigh who they beat
sure.
and how often, it is tough to top, if not impossible to top, what we're seeing right now in the Big 12.
I know that that Ainge team that we just showed the miracle shot over Notre Dame against, I mean, they destroyed a 3-seed UCLA by 23 points yeah. and then beat a 2-seed Notre Dame. So that is the most impressive tournament run isolated in its own conversation. Sure. But when we are discussing the overall seasons, that Big 12 X factor and Power Conference X factor is the one that you have to rely heavily on if you are going to say that maybe this 2024-2025 scenario was the best combo season ever. I know that it didn't end for football the way that they wanted to, with at least a chance to play in the Big 12 championship game and maybe get into the college football playoff. Basketball, I mean, getting the third ever Sweet 16 in the modern era,
yeah,
it's hard to ask for much more than that in the first year of Kevin Young's tenure. So, what would it have taken? If it is not this year, Dave, would BYU have, you know, getting to a Big 12 championship game, would that have, like, clearly solidified, like, oh, this year was the best combo season ever, or would it have taken something more?
I think they probably did enough to say it is. Football was 11-2. They faced 11 P4s. Once you conclude the bowl game.
Yeah.
Basketball, 26-10, 27 power conference foes. You go back to 80 even, any time actually before this, and you can't come near that number. BYU beat, in the shows we highlights we showed, they beat UCLA and Notre Dame with Ainge in that great finish. SMU was ranked 19th when McMahon beat them at the Holiday Bowl. That was the only ranked team they played that year. But, man, you look at what they're doing right now. We're in it. We're in the greatest period of time. It's not a national championship. That was owned in 84. It's not a Heisman Trophy. That was owned early. But in the collective of what we've seen,
yeah,
in our lifetime, this is pretty special.
Again, not taking anything away. And I know that there are going to be some BYU fans out there like, oh, you're just stuck in the moment.
We're in the moment.
You're just overwhelmed by the moment. You don't remember how good it was in the early 80s. So I do want to be fair to that scenario. I mean, those postseason runs, those miraculous moments, yeah, and the star power involved in those teams also add to the argument for the 80-81 scenario, the 79-80. When we're talking about Jim McMahon and Danny Ainge,
right,
Dave.
Right.
Like the star power involved and what they did, the lasting moments, those unforgettable shots and the Miracle Bowl pass, like that's hard to beat from a momentary standpoint. But again, we're assessing the overall season resume. Yeah.
And this season's history now. So it's just part of the history. How does it stack up? I was sitting at Lavelle Edwards Stadium with my brothers watching BYU beat UTEP 83-7. We had a great day, time of our life. You know, it was UTEP. I was also in the stadium this last year when BYU beat Kansas State with those tremendous plays, or the Hail Mary type play to Darius Lassiter to beat Oklahoma State, or what they did to Arizona. That was just in the same season. It's a different animal.
Yes, yes. Okay, I'm going to give you, and this should resonate with the whole education system here.
I didn't even count this one here on the kick.
Right?
Throw that one in there.
unbelievable moments involved in this season. It's kind of like when you assess the 80-81 scenario, because of how, like, how spectacular the finishes were against Notre Dame and against SMU, and, like, I mean, those are just etched forever.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest plays in BYU sports ever. That's like going through your class the entire semester, Dave, and having like a B+, and then you just crush the final. Like you crush the final, and it bumps your grade way up, and you're left feeling so great because you hit it when it mattered most on the biggest test of the semester.
I wish that had happened to me, but I'm really trying to stick with your analogy.
Now, the 2024-2025 scenario, the basketball team certainly did well on their final. Football team kind of teetered, but overall, like, they were an A student the entire season. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like, this year, it was an A student, A semester, basically the entire way.
Yeah, and they bombed a couple tests, but then they did the makeup work, you know, and they got their grade right back up. So you're right. These seasons are stories, and some chapters are more riveting than others, but when you close the book and you're going, man, that was a that was a novel I want to reread.
Yes.
This is one you want to reread.
You also have to understand the difficulty of said class.
Yeah.
Because of the power four element, this is like economics.
It's not
okay,
200.
At BYU. Okay. And back in 1980-81, it was like, all right, maybe your entry-level math class compared to a very in-depth advanced course economics situation with the power element in place. So it's one thing to be an A student in an OK class and a totally different scenario to be an A student with that level of difficulty. And I think that's why I'm with you. I lean towards the Power Four 2024, 2025 element as the best combo overall season in BYU history.
All right, let's segue into this one. Which team do you think will be higher in the preseason AP poll when it comes out? The football team, which finished 13th,
okay,
and the basketball team, which finished 13th.
For me, this is really easy, and it's because BYU has the star power of A.J. DeBonsa and whatever else Kevin Young is going to bring back. Richie Saunders, we expect to be a part of the roster. Even if you bring just those two guys back,
yeah,
taking nothing away from Kay Bakeda and Mihailo Boskovic, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and him saying that he's going to return. Like, there are core pieces, Dawson Baker, Brody Kozlowski. Can BYU go get a few more pieces? Then they're a top 10 team in basketball. Football, I feel like they don't have that clear star. Jake Retzlaff is in the college football world, he's a household name of sorts because of his unique backdrop.
Yeah.
And he's a quarterback. But to me, I think basketball is the clear front runner here. I expect him to be a top 12 team when the season begins. Football, for me, I'm thinking somewhere between 16 and 19. Yeah. And if BYU had a Heisman Trophy candidate coming back, or the number one overall football recruit, or this incredible recruiting class like basketball did, then I'd probably say it's going to be closer. But I expect basketball, led by A.J. DeBonsa, to just have that much more of the nation's attention and be a top 12 team. Do you see it differently?
These numbers we're looking at seem to agree with that, right? Basketball is getting a lot more props than football. Even without anybody else added for the team today, I think CBS had them at 16. Rothstein had them at 16.
Yeah.
That's without any additions. And they've got room for four or five additions, and they're going to make those. So I think they, with a couple of the additions that that we think they're going to make, they're in the top 10 preseason. Football is in the top 20, right? They finished 13th. If they had the kind of respect that some of these other schools have, they would be 13 or higher just based on who they got coming back. But we don't typically. So probably, 15, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Right around that area, which, you know what? That's fine. You beat Portland State and you beat Stanford, and then, go to East Carolina. Then you're right in the top 15 going places once the schedule gets really tough.
The fact that we are having this conversation.
It's fun.
Is highly entertaining. Like, what a time for BYU fans that we are sitting here. Think about this. Dave and I are having a conversation trying to figure out which team is going to be ranked in a better position in the top 25 to begin the season.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Cross country sitting over there going, why are you guys wasting your time?
Hey, we're typically one, two, or three.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Can we get some love?
There's no debate over here for that. But it is. It is. And you mentioned, I think you said it right there, that the moment ago, what people might think we're just living in the moment. Well, that's all you can do. That's enjoying life is in the moment. And we've lived in the moment at 4-9, and made it through that. So when you're 11-2 and 26-10, you're in those moments. They're to be celebrated because they're one twisted ankle away or one missed kick or whatever from being completely opposite. And as BYU felt at the end of the Alabama game, which was opposite the feeling of the Wisconsin game, those are separated by 5 days. That's how we roll with sports. Mm. And we talk about that all the time. So this is the off season of celebration. And with the transfer portal, it's also following X, like every 5 minutes to see who's jumped in or who's gone out. The interest is crazy. And then come August, when that first poll shows up, or when you're in Dallas at the Big 12 meetings and the coaches come out with their poll, where do they see BYU? Where's the respect level? It won't be 13.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody asked me, Spencer, let's just take off every level of blue goggle that you can muster, okay?
Yeah,
like all of them off, all of them. Just like try and pull yourself out of this perspective. Worst case, like what are these teams ranked going into the next season? And I think like the bottom of this, like the worst, if you will, is football maybe somewhere around 19 or 20 and basketball around 15 or 16. Yeah. Like that, I was like, that is, I think that is about as low or as bad, if you will, as it's going to be for both of these teams going into next season. Still both in the top 20, I think. How about that?
Let's see who they add, and then it's just going.
Yes. On. Let's add another layer to this conversation with the following question. Coming off incredible success by both of these teams, which squad is more likely to replicate last season's success? Let's quantify it. BYU football 11-2, finish number 13, Alamo Bowl dominant champions. Men's basketball finish number 13 after their third ever Sweet 16 trip in the modern era, and they've got the number one recruit coming in. So who's more likely to replicate what happened just a few months ago?
The quick reaction is, oh, basketball's gonna do better. But to quote the great Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend.
Making a case for football.
Because let's make a case for football. Football is built with depth to withstand injury. Even at quarterback, if Jake goes down, they got two other guys that can come in and run it.
There.
The defense is built to – they were the best defense in the Big 12 last year. They're going to be better this year. Special teams, All-Americans, kickers that don't miss, you know, they're all back. So I think the football team is actually built to withstand what always happens in sports is something that you don't expect happens, and it's typically health. For BYU basketball, if AJ tweaks a knee,
heaven forbid,
or Richie goes down or whatever, it's such a jolt to where you're going to go find 20 points. And it's not to say they can't go do it, but, you know, on paper, healthy as we sit, you know, let's say 2 weeks from now when other pieces have been added, basketball. If basketball doesn't go to the Elite Eight, Final Four, you know, the expectations are, well, that'd be a little disappointing. But football is built to sustain, and it took a while to get there. Basketball is a quick fix we've seen in the portal. You get one, two, three really good guys in a sporting cast, you can go to the Final Four. You can do what we just saw with what Florida did. Football is, you got to have what? You got to have 22, 30, 35, and now BYU has that. So, you know, in a reality world, maybe football. In a perfectly nothing bad's going to happen, basketball.
What okay. So, again, replicating. So, suggesting that which is more likely, BYU football wins 11 games again, however they get to 11. Like, and there are different paths to get there.
Sure.
Or basketball going to another Sweet 16, yes, I am inclined to just immediately say it's probably BYU basketball.
Right.
And the funny thing is, you mentioned depth for football, which you're right, it's there. But the basketball team relied heavily on that this year. How often did we hear from Kevin Young and his staff, even the players, saying, we have 11 guys. Like, our rotation is 11 deep. I don't think it's going to be that extensive next year, but BYU could be, again, in a situation where they're going 9 or 10 deep, that is the key for me. Can you build your rotation to get to 9 or 10? Maintain every piece that you can within the core. We saw Dallin Hall leave. That one hurts. He's at the University of Virginia now. Obviously, you have 4 graduates, and they were all significant contributors.
Sure.
You lose Elijah Crawford as well. Cannon Catchings rumored to be maybe headed to North Carolina.
Right.
Like, there are a lot of pieces to replace. So everybody that Kevin Young can bring back, Baker, Kaba, Richie, okay, Mihailo, Brody, like if he can maintain that core 5 and then obviously AJ and company, can you get that rotation to 9 deep? Because if they can, I think they are set up to replicate last season's success, a Sweet 16, maybe an Elite 8. Now, you mentioned that Jake Retzloff is there and that they have 2 quarterbacks that have been around for a while. It's been a while since those other quarterbacks have played meaningful reps.
Yeah,
so that does give me pause. So, again, you're right. They have the depth at quarterback. If, heaven forbid, an injury happened there, then that could get really, really interesting and tough for BYU football. So I'm still inclined to say BYU basketball. But if Jake Retzloff stays healthy the entire season, and according to some out there, Josh Pate, College Football Insider, BYU has the easiest Power 4 schedule of any team in the country.
Nice. Why not?
Can they take advantage of that?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is the case for BYU football to replicate last season. If they do indeed have the easiest schedule in Power 4 football, then maybe they're the answer, like, to follow up with 11 wins. take advantage. They got a huge core of depth, to your point, Dave, coming back.
All right, our question of the day is this. Which team is more likely to replicate last season's success, BYU football or men's basketball? Now it's your turn to weigh in.
Here we go. At SF Garrett on X answers. I think both have a decent chance, but basketball is more likely because of the high-end talent, especially if Richie Saunders returns.
Yeah, I get that. S. Connie Coog on X, football. As much fun as it was, BYU did not play in the college football playoff or the conference championship. Finishing top four in conference and winning a bowl game is a lower bar to clear than the Sweet 16.
But is 11 wins a lower bar to clear? Like, I know that BYU didn't play in the conference championship game, but they were 10-2 in the regular season, and then dominated arguably the biggest bowl game that BYU has played in since the Cotton Bowl. It's probably that, right? Maybe the second or third biggest bowl game ever?
Most watched ever for BYU.
That's a high bar still for BYU football to try and replicate that. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah, give us your opinion. There's a bunch of them out there. We'd like to hear yours. BYU softball back in action. They're in third place in the Big 12. Talk about a team that is doing so much better in their second year. Cougars host UCF tonight. First of three games at Gale Miller Field. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Watched the game the other night. That was crazy over there.
After the break, have you heard the name Thomas Boyden? If not, you should pay attention now. Transferring from Stanford to run for BYU's Dynasty Cross Country Track and Field Team. Why is the question? He'll answer it next.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
I want to say thank you to my mentor and my best friend, my almost older brother, Travis. He took me under his wing since the first day of me being in States, and Travis is the guy who was always there for me, and we had Sunday dinners almost every week. He took me, his family invited me to his house, and he's just such an amazing human being that, you know, he's just a big example for me. Not just a player, but as a human being.
We are live in Studio B. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton.
Is that only a day ago? Man, it feels like that was a long time ago.
It was an emotional day.
It was
an emotionally bittersweet day. Yeah, absolutely. As we wish Yegor Demin the best, but understandably sad that he's just not going to be around at BYU because he makes people feel so much happiness and joy.
I know.
Straight up.
He was fun to be around.
Now, to help us process through this is the man that was sitting to Yegor's right yesterday.
His almost older brother.
Almost older brother, yeah. Travis Hansen, is back on BYU Sports.
What's up, Trav?
Hi, guys.
Did he know you were Elder 8 Mile? Did that ever come up? Did you break out footage, pictures?
He does know, and one of his friends just changed their contact from Travis Hansen to Elder 8 Mile.
Nice, That's one of the best nicknames in BYU basketball history. I love it, dude.
What was yesterday like for you, emotionally speaking?
It's been a roller coaster of emotions. We love him. We love his family. We love him. We're proud of him. And we're here to support him all the way through. Have we tried to talk him into staying? Yes. Do we want to keep him here and protect him and love him a little bit more for another year? Yes. But it's his dreams. And he's this close. And it's the right move for him. So we're excited for him. So, yeah, roller coaster of emotions.
We would have loved to have him with AJ and that whole team and everything. Yeah. But he mentioned yesterday, and the ultimate decision maker at this place is, I prayed and got an answer. And that's what he said. He consulted in a way that we respect is, what does God want with my life? And he feels like the next step is the NBA. And I loved what he said yesterday. He could not have had a better press conference, by the way. And some people were thinking, because of some of the posts, Travis, that he was coming back. But what he wanted was a time to thank the fans. And talk to Russia in Russian. And talk in Spanish to Real Madrid, a place that you played. You know this path. And now he heads off to the NBA. I thought he could not have had a better day yesterday and how he presented that.
I agree. I think he's socially aware beyond his years. He's an old soul. He's a phenomenal person. It was fun to see him speak some Spanish and Russian. Afterwards, he said, how was my Spanish? I said, it was really good. He's like, man, I was a little nervous there speaking. I haven't spoke it for a while. But he speaks all three languages perfectly. Yeah, I agree. He did a phenomenal job, and it was important for him to, from a young kid from Moscow, Russia, had to move to Spain for 3 years without his family, to thank everyone along the way. And he has that humility and kindness and empathy that's, you know, I think a lot of us are still striving to get, and it comes very natural to him. It's a gift.
I'm taking all of you with me in this experience emotionally. I thought that was cool.
Yep. Travis Hanson is on BYU Sports Nation. I had a few fans reach out to me before, during, and after Yegor's news conference and ask, okay, explain to me once again how Travis initially got involved in this and where the connection began. And I thought, well, Travis has told us on the show before, but let's have you do it again for our BYU fans. Like, when did that relationship begin, and how did it get to the point where he's legitimately considering coming to BYU?
For the fans, I played basketball and played in the NBA and then over in the EuroLeague for Real Madrid and Moscow, Russia. And so I have a lot of connections over there. I spent, you know, 10 years of my life and our family spent over there. And so we love it. There's people that we love. And when you play for a team for 5 years, you get to know the janitors to the assistant coaches, to everyone that's important, and the bus drivers. And they're all my friends and my Facebook friends. They still, you know, we still share birthdays and what's going on in their families. And one of those people was his dad, Vladimir, who was a coach for the junior team when I was there. And so as Yegor started to show more promise for a young, skinny little kid, I got pictures I'll show you when he was like little dude.
So you knew him when he was little?
I did, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I didn't know him. I knew his dad.
You knew his
dad.
But
they started sending me pictures of how good he was. And eventually he's like, well, what do we do? You know, do we stay in Russia? To go to Real Madrid, and Real Madrid's, you know, the superpower of Europe as far as development's concerned, and so he made that choice, hard choice at a young age, that he wanted to chase his dreams, and he wanted the best coaches and the best development. And you can see this aggressive mentality that he keeps, you know, that's helped him in life to do hard things. You know, when I left BYU, there was 50 agents that reached out to me. I don't know who's who. What's an agent, you know? And I found out soon enough that there's a lot of Chucksters and Heidsters out there in the agent world. So I sent the list to Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge came back and said, there's two out of the 50. I said, there's 48 bad choices. You know, he's like, 48 guys, I don't even know who they are. And so he said two. Justin Zanuck, who's now the GM of Utah Jazz. We interviewed him. And then Bill Duffy, who's Luka, Steve Nash, Carmelo, Yao Ming's agent. And we chose to go with Bill, and it changed my life. What would my life have been like had I not had a mentor like Danny Ainge to help me sift through, you know, and try to find the truth? And so that's what we do for Yegor. We're helping him sift through and find the truth of what he should do for his career. And I'm just doing what people have, you know, done for me and blessed my life. I can't imagine what my career would have been like without great mentors like Danny.
Mm. He's going to be a first-round guy. Certainly his hope is to be in the lottery. What do you have, a team or teams that you're like, hey, I hope they pick him up? This would be the best fit for him. How are you feeling about it?
Well, it's, you know, I played for so long and with so many people, you know, half my friends are now general managers of these teams. You know, Trajan Langdon with the Detroit Pistons, I played against him for 5 years in Russia, and Anthony Parker with the Orlando Magic. And, you know, it's just Kyle Korver with the Hawks, who just sent me a package. Kyle, that was very nice of you, sending some Atlanta Hawks game. But yeah, I think it's all about fit, and you're trying to find out where the right fit is for him, from the owner to the GM to the coach, the style of play, and their belief and confidence in him. So we're hard at work analyzing those opportunities.
Does he fit most everywhere? I mean, in the NBA, like, he would generally fit almost everywhere?
You're 6'9". Ginormous point guard that can see from
the... It's going to work out, right?
Yeah, he has eyes in the back of his head, and there's zero concerns with his shot. So it's going to be more spacing. It'll be easier to score. They'll call fouls
that they didn't call.
They may call some fouls, some hip checks.
Please.
When they're riding
Ain't
him,
no Houston can, in the NBA.
Yeah, they've hitched their wagon to him and holding him back. He'll do wonderful. There'll be better fits and better styles of play, just like everywhere. And really, you're looking at someone who's going to be... which I think why the reason he chose BYU is they're going to outlove, outdevelop, you know, and outpurpose. And so there's this narrative that we outbid people, and we don't. We just outlove them, outdevelop them, outpurpose them. And so we're trying to find an organization in the NBA that'll do that for him.
And more on that. Yet we are competitive in NIL. And to me, yeah. Travis, that should be celebrated. For some reason, we sort of hide around here with that fact. I think we should celebrate it, that you, the donors, the fans contribute in a way that helps here. But it's not just money. You have to love, you have to develop, you have to do all those things. Right now, it feels like there's a combination of a lot of amazing opportunities here that is very attractive for a lot of players.
Yeah, I mean, NIL is an amazing tool. It's not the foundation of who we are. It'll never be the identity of BYU. Yegor passed up more money to come to BYU.
Yeah.
There were huge schools, you know, Arkansas, one of them, like, that offered way more money, and he chose BYU because he chose, you know, in reality, it came down to trust. And you see this with a lot of players, is they trust Coach Satake and Heather Homestead. You know, I talked to Erin Livingston, and she came and trained my daughter at my place, and she's unbelievable. And the way she talks about this place,
she's great.
And so, yeah, they're choosing, trust, love, development, their ability to progress spiritually, intellectually. That's more important to them. The same thing happened to me. So I'm over there in Europe, and I got two big offers. One from Olympiakos in Athens, Greece. Great team. Now, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, they got all the money in the world, and they're known to have a lot of money. And then I get an offer from Real Madrid. And Madrid is, Real Madrid to me is prestigious. It's a place where they outlove, they outdevelop, and they definitely have outpurpose other schools. So I'm looking at the, you know, offers, and I too, you know, like Igor, I believe in God and have faith in Jesus Christ. So I pray, as I sat down with my wife and we prayed, and we felt like we should go to Real Madrid. And we took less money than we could have made to go to a place that felt the best. And so, yeah, there'll be players that pass up BYU and go chase money. That's good. It's probably not the best place for you if you're just chasing money. This is a place that's different, that's special. And people are finding that out.
Preach.
What do you believe that BYU, in terms of trajectory and what Kevin Young is doing, what do you feel like, if you could sum up from your perspective, the culture and the direction of what is happening under Kevin Young, what would you say to that?
Well, it's a lot more art than science to put together an amazing culture. And I would say, I've said this before, wins and success go where they're wanted most. And it's not just about the head coach. The head coach has got to want it. But then it's all the staff members. It's the admin, the resources. It's the fans. It's the boosters. And it's the players. And really, it's contagious. And so what Kevin's been able to do, I mean, his whole family is awesome. Like, they're all
super. We were just talking about how awesome.
Yeah, they're all super competitive, and they're all really into basketball, but their parents weren't. So I don't know how these brothers all of a sudden developed this amazing DNA of they love to win, and they love to compete, and they genuinely love the kids, and they love the process. And so they've just developed this, you know, foundation of a perfect alignment with a great mission and that competitiveness. And the way they've been able to align it attracts people that think the same way, just like my wife and I thought the same way at Real Madrid, and Yegor thought that same way.
What's your advice to Richie Saunders? Should he, enter his name and see what's out there? Because right now it doesn't feel like he's a guaranteed first-round guy, and he could have a monster senior year and perhaps better his stock. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, I love Richie. Richie's awesome.
Bona fide star.
He's so good. He's so fun to watch. And he's one of those guys, when you're a young kid, you think you got to be 6'9", and a 50-inch vertical. And if you'll just work and work, good things will happen, sometimes great things, and sometimes incredible things. And what's happened with Richie is absolutely incredible because he put in the work. I mean, he is a workaholic. He's got, you know, pains in his knees and dealing with some issues, and he just outworks everybody.
No one knew any of that during the season.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about it. It wasn't limping. It was
his
play.
He's just a beast. And yeah. So it's his mindset. It's his physicality. He needs to surround himself with the best people, and he needs to find the truth. And if you do that, you have the right people around you. He'll be able to make the right decisions. And I just talked to him yesterday, and he definitely has the right people around him. So So we'll help him as we did with Yegor and send him in the right direction. And let's see what happens.
All right, we'll finish with this. If you had to pick a number, not a team, but a number of where you think Yegor would go if the NBA draft happened today, what would it be?
We don't care. We're all about fit. We could care less. We want, Utah Jazz at 21. Danny.
I knew it. Now, hopefully he's there at 21.
Yeah, most likely he'll go, in my opinion, he has to crush the workouts. And crush means you got to make shots. You got to, show your conditioning level. They'll try to wear you down before you start shooting. They'll try to wear you down before one-on-one is and two-on-twos, ball handling. And so he's going to go to L.A., and he's going to start to prepare. And hopefully, we'll be able to follow his journey along. Most likely, from the feedback I've got, is 7-12.
That'd be awesome.
But again, it doesn't matter. It's all about fit. It's all about fit, and let's see how good he can become.
But it kind of does. Top 10 would be awesome. Right? That'd be great.
He'll be the highest drafted Russian in the history of Russia.
Oh, nice.
How cool is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll be cool for him.
Travis, you're awesome. Thanks for coming in and hanging out
with us
again.
Thanks, Trav. Always good to see you, man.
Go Cougs.
BYU Baseball going on the road to take on Utah tomorrow night, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+. Cougars put up, a 19 spot?
19
on Utah Tech
runs.
Last night. The St. Jeezy boys took it personally there.
12 by the softball team against Utah Tech, 19 by the BYU baseball team against Utah Tech. Hey, speaking of projections, where does ESPN's Jonathan Givony have Yegor Demian slated in his latest mock draft? Plus, the aforementioned BYU baseball headlines on the way on BYUSN.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Freshman point guard Yegor Demian announced yesterday that he will enter his name into the NBA draft. ESPN's Jonathan Givony's new 2025 mock currently has Demian going 12th to the Bulls. Heard from Travis Hanson a moment ago. He said he's hearing 7-12 right now,
okay, which
would be amazing. If you missed our interview with Yegor yesterday, you can find it on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel and the free BYU TV app.
BYU men's basketball finishes the season ranked number 13 in the final AP poll released yesterday. It's the 13th time in program history that BYU has ended a season ranked in that final AP poll, and the highest that the Cougars have finished in a poll since they were number 10 back in 2011, led by Jimmer Fredette. BYU also the third highest ranked Big 12 team in that AP poll, trailing only Houston at number 2 and Texas Tech at number 8.
Speaking of Tech, JT Toppin just announced about 10 minutes ago he is returning to Lubbock next year. John Rothstein reported today BYU is expected to be one of the 4 teams in the 2025 Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden in December this season. So BYU's non-conference games, as reported or confirmed so far, exhibition game at Nebraska in October, season opener versus Villanova in Las Vegas November 3rd, a Thanksgiving multi-team event or MTE in Orlando, 2 games, Georgetown, Miami, Dayton, 2 of those 3, Jimmy V Classic as mentioned, and for some reason at Wyoming.
BYU softball beats Utah Tech 12-7 last night at Miller Park, thanks to a program single game record tying 8 runs batted in by Kayla Kamoku, 3-for-3, including a grand slam and a 3-run homer. Wow, with the victory, BYU improves to 24-10 on the season. The Cougars welcome UCF to Provo for a massive 3-game Big 12 conference series beginning tomorrow. Both of those teams in a good position to make the tournament. Whoever wins the series, going to take a leg up. Ilovea Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski, the birthday girl, will join us in the next segment.
Baseball beat up Utah Tech 19-1 in St. George yesterday. There's a bunch of players from St. George on BYU's team. They showed out for the homies, snapping a 3-game losing streak. Each Cougar batter recorded a hit. Cooper Vest, who's from St. George, 2 homers, 4 RBIs. Brock Watkins, 3 hits, including a home run and 4 RBIs. BYU at Utah beginning tomorrow night.
After the break, Elo Brittingham and Lindy Milkowski, as we mentioned, fresh off that win over Utah Tech. We'll preview the series with UCF and what in the world's going on with BYU and the Home Run Bowl. They're the best in the Big 12 at it.
Let's go.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. It is Masters Week. By the way, I didn't ask. Have you been to the Masters?
No, but I have friends.
You do have friends.
And they got this when they were at the Masters. And so I'm wearing it. Yeah. So this has been to the Masters.
Let's go. And let's get to today's headlines.
Doesn't make me play any better. BYU's Mihailo Boskovic told Robbie McCombs yesterday that he'll be returning to play for BYU this season. Played in 30 games for the Cougars, 3.6 points, had 1.7 rebounds. He had some major impacts during certain moments for sure. BYU point guard Dallin Hall announcing on his social media that he's going to go play for Virginia, and former Utah State and VCU head coach Ryan Odom. So Hall is going from the Big 12 to the ACC.
Bittersweet again. Love Dallin. Huge get for Virginia. He's going to be great in that program and for head coach Ryan Odom. AJ DiBonsa practiced yesterday with USA Basketball and the men's junior select team in Portland ahead of Saturday's Nike Hoop Summit game. The Nike Hoop Summit is an international basketball all-star game. That contest will take place Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern, live on USA Network and Peacock.
Here's the thought. Have we seen anything from AJ and all these scrimmages and games he plays where he didn't dominate, where he didn't play good, where someone's not saying, you got to see this? If there are, they're few.
I don't think they're out there.
Mike Weir teed off earlier today at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, first round. He won the event back in 2003, the only BYU golfer to get a green jacket. On the day so far, Weir is plus two through 16 holes.
BYU softball hosting UCF in the first game of a three-game set tonight at Miller Park. Huge implications on BYU's NCAA tournament resume here. UCF 4-8 in Big 12 play, but they've played a brutal schedule to begin conference. BYU 7-5, and their schedule will toughen up naturally. Coverage begins tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Baseball on the road at Utah, first of a three-game set in the Big 12. Cougars are 4-8. The Utes are 2-10. This is a significant one. 12 of the 14 teams advance to the conference tournament, and these are two teams trying to get there. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
BYU men's cross country and track and field. You just heard from him. Signed Stanford transfer Thomas Boyden. He joins BYU as a graduate student, 1 year of eligibility remaining in cross country and indoor track and field. He chose BYU over Northern Arizona and Oregon.
Mackenzie Miller-Lung named the Big 12 Women's Swimmer of the Year, as announced by the conference yesterday. Miller-Lung was a first-team All-American in the 100 and 200 breaststroke, including a national runner-up in the 200. She was also the Big 12 champion in the 200. Tamber McAllister named Big 12 Women's Swimming Co-Coach of the Year her first season as BYU Swim and Dive head coach. Everybody wins. It's like Oprah.
It
get a win.
Like the momentum, athletics department wide.
And that's the first time I've ever quoted Oprah.
BYU men's tennis hosting Utah on senior night in their final match of the season. Seniors Wally Thane and Zach Fuchs will be honored at tonight's meet. Thane and Fuchs, currently the number 34 ranked doubles team in the entire country. They're 10-1 together on the season. And women's tennis hosting number 20 UCF tonight as the Cougars look to snap their two-match conference losing streak.
The legendary Elaine Michaelis will be laid to rest today with funeral services later this morning. Former coach and women's athletic director at BYU is going to be honored in a tribute reception this afternoon at the Smith Fieldhouse right on Elaine Michaelis Court from 2 to 4 local time. Public's invited to attend that event, and we send our thoughts and prayers to her family and friends. And today's a celebration of life, but it's also sad.
What a legacy. Mm-hmm. Incredible stuff happening, as Dave just mentioned. All right, we'll keep things rolling after the break with BYU TV analyst Blaine Fowler. Does he agree with this? That we just witnessed the best BYU football, men's basketball combined season in Cougar sports history. This is BYUSN.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
It's the beginning of something great right now for BYU. I always say when BYU has a senior quarterback, you've got a chance to be really good off. Jake, I think he took great strides in spring ball. They're deep at running back.
Yeah, you know, we just know what it takes to win.
And a couple of tackles, another one. There he goes, touchdown.
Busts a gap. LJ, 40, 30, tackled. Off again, and look at all that room he's got.
And a touchdown.
Like, why not just pick up where they left off?
Welcome back to Studio B for our BYU football spring recap special. Carson Ryan was labeled the spring football offensive MVP, that according to his quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, and is using his final year of eligibility to play for a third team in his collegiate career. The transfer tight end at BYU speaks now on his time at UCLA and Utah and how those experiences will help him in Provo, and how he is certainly building chemistry with his aforementioned QB. This is Carson Ryan on BYUSN.
Carson, I'd just like to point out that I just asked Jake Retzlaff who the spring football MVP was, and he said, well, on offense, it was Carson Ryan. How do you feel about that?
Well, I guess I didn't expect that answer. I don't know if I would have said that, but you know, I'm glad he feels so strongly about me. So, you know, I thought Jake had a great spring. I probably would have mentioned him as one of the MVPs in the offense, so... No, it's great to hear that. Great to that, you know, people are seeing how much I'm doing out there and, you know, thinking that I'm playing at a high level. So I feel like I had a lot to work on this spring, but, you know, I'm glad I was able to get a lot of work done. Other people were able to see it. So,
why do you feel like you've acclimated so quickly?
I feel like part of it's my experience. I've been in college for going on my fourth season now and been in a couple programs, and so it's kind of had to adjust to so many different things throughout my career, and it's been kind of helped me learn how to do that quickly. And, you know, I came in running to, you know, meeting with Coach Tyson McDaniel and Coach Gilbride, our two tight end coaches, and learning the offense and getting it down, like, as soon as I got here in January. And so I was able to get a pretty big head start on, you know, like, knowing the offense, going, not just like learning it during spring ball, but already having it learned and then just applying it in spring ball. I feel like helped me a lot to be able to go out and play comfortably and, you know, play fast. So,
understandably, a huge part of the tight ends group and just the tight end position is at times run blocking. You did a lot of that in your career. You're going to do some at BYU, but I ask this because I've heard multiple people talk about how excited they are about the BYU running backs. What are you seeing from that running backs group you'll be blocking for?
Oh yeah, it's going to be a really great running back room. And I noticed that the more we got into spring, I was like, wow, we got a really stacked running back room. And it's, you know, we started using a lot of 2-3 running back sets, and I was like, you know, I'm excited for it. And I played with Pokai Hunga and, you know, Sione Moa too back in high school, so I know what kind of players they are. Like, they did it in high school, and they're going to do it again this year at, you know, this level. So I'm really excited for them. We're going to be running the ball a lot. It's going to be great.
Now the spring football is wrapped up. Where do you feel like BYU as a team progressed the most over this period of time?
I feel like it was a good year to help develop some leaders. You know, lost a lot of seniors this last season. You know, like Tyler Batty and, you know, Darius Lasser and a couple other guys in the O-line. Like, a lot of spots we need to fill, you know, leadership-wise, especially in the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, Jake's been able to step up a lot with that, too. And it's going in on his fourth season now, right? Or third season?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been able to step up as a leader even more. And I'm trying to do the best I can. You know, as a new guy, it's a little harder. But, you know, it's just trying to find those leading, those voices in the offense to kind of push the group even more than what we could be. So I feel like that's been a good step to spring ball because we were missing that at the start of winter. And I feel like let's get that going a lot more. So,
now the spring ball is wrapped up. What does the next 3 months look like for you as you gear up for fall camp?
Well, now it's just getting the best shape I can physically right now. You know, I'm feeling really healthy right now, which I'm really grateful for. I know it's had a few injuries in my career, and so it's been hard for me to kind of get ready for the season sometimes, but I'm feeling great right now. So I'm just trying to physically keep getting in better shape, put on more muscle, you know, getting ready to block DNs over in the Big 12 and, you know, get some separation from linebackers. So just, you know, physically getting my cardio up, you know, getting stronger and faster and just nonstop all season. So
we hear the phrase player run practice often when you get together. What typically happens in those formats?
You know, it's been a different practice experience than what I've had at other schools. Like, it's, like you said, player run practice, and they put a lot of stress on the players to be leaders. And so, you know, they the coaches kind of let us take the reins sometimes with, you know, getting guys going to practice. Like, you see guys walking around, the coaches isn't always going to say something. They expect us to kind of be like, hey, like, we got to jog to the next place. Like, we got to get going. Like, you know, other schools, like, I mean, it's like you just get yelled at by your coach, like, sprint to the next drill. It's like here, it's like they expect the players to do that. And I feel like that's kind of what brings our maturity up as a team and, you know, our connectedness too, because we hold each other to such a high level.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.